The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Already. Rolien Marx, 18 minutes past 5. That's a little earlier than usual, but always good when you can squeeze a minute or two extra out of you.
Always, always good to speak to you guys. You know, you can squeeze me for anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Noted and moving right along.
It is the end of the week, right?
It absolutely is. And what a week it's been, Rolien. I mean, it's been an emotional week from every perspective. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's been a hectic week.
It has. We have mourned together. We have cried together. Absolutely. We've also celebrated together. And it looks like we are starting to heal together. News coming in early this morning that the restriction of only being able to exercise up to 500 meters from home has been lifted, and a lot of discussions taking place. No confirmations yet about what can or can't be opened, but there is discussion about whether or not movie houses can be opened with very, very, very specific limits, whether or not the beaches will be opened, whether theaters, hotel and guest houses with very, very, very strict limitations will be allowed to open. And news coming in that it's not confirmed whether kindergartens and daycare centers will be allowed to open on Sundays, but what will be allowed to open are elementary school or primary school grades 1-3, staggered and within reason. You know, with all, and I'm sure every educator, every parent can understand that with all the turmoil that COVID-19 has caused, that a lot of preparation still has to take place before we can open up schools, etc.
Rolien, I mean, kol hakavod to all of you in Israel. It seems like your very, very extreme and early actions avoid a tragedy. Just for example, David Horowitz today, I just wanted to say that David Horowitz in an op-ed that I haven't yet had the time to read has said, Israel's COVID-19 stats are stunning. I mean, that's a hell of a word to use, stunning.
We have been exceptional. I mean, today is, I think, the third day where the amount of people who have recovered is more than the amount of people sick. So let's take a look at those stats as we do every day. We have, and again, I confirm this is from the beginning of the breakout of the pandemic, have had confirmed cases 15,870. Oh, my English is a disaster. 219 fatalities. And these numbers are significantly decreased, 117 serious, that is significantly lower than yesterday, and 85 on ventilators. It's also at least 10 lower than yesterday, but very, very significantly is the number of people recovered is now 8,412, which is much more than the slightly over 7,000 people who are still battling COVID-19.
Wow, Rolien, you give us hope. You certainly do. I want to move on to a very, very important story that is coming out of Europe today, and that is that Germany is apparently banning Hezbollah.
Well, Germany made the stunning announcement, and stunning because it gets the approval of just about everybody, that they have banned Hezbollah outright. That includes Hezbollah, the political party. Now, there's been a lot of debate over the last couple of years whether or not Hezbollah is a terror organization or a guerrilla organization, but it looks like more and more states are following Israel's lead and America's lead by recognizing the Iranian-backed group as a terror organization and banning them outright. And not only did Germany ban them, but Germany conducted raids on all suspected Hezbollah premises, and this included mosques earlier today in conjunction with the ban. And the foreign minister, Heiko Maas, has said that the reason why they are banning Hezbollah is specifically because they do not, or they deny Israel's right to exist. Very, very important wording, because we have so much debate with organizations like BDS and various others around the right of Israel to exist, despite the fact that BDS in South Africa may be rebranding to be Africa for Palestine. We still understand their intention. Also, he spoke about Hezbollah ramping up and upgrading their weapons or their arsenal of rockets, and also violence and terror. They specifically cited these issues. So the next time you see a Hezbollah flag pop up on a campus near you, and this does happen, just remember what kind of an organization they are, and that if a country like Germany, with Germany's background with regards to anti-Semitism, recognizes it, then we must be onto something. And this decision has been lauded, as you can imagine, by the Israeli government, by Netanyahu, by the current foreign or the outgoing foreign minister Israel Katz, and by Benny Gantz, who is the current speaker of Knesset, soon to be defense minister, soon to be prime minister of the state of Israel. So a massive decision coming in from Germany, and it is hoped that many other EU states are going to follow suit.
All the more remarkable, Rolene, because it's appeared to me over the past few months that it seemed as if Hezbollah was actually making inroads into certain European elites. I mean, I think it was only a few months ago that there was pictures of Al-Quds Day marches right down the middle of Berlin with Hezbollah flags, and nobody did anything. So for them to have banned this party now, like, why so long, and what's precipitated this?
Teutonic kind of pedanticism that, you know, they want to check and make sure all the T's are crossed and all the I's dotted, and that they understand the levity or the severity of the threat before they make a statement, but also not just make the statement, back it up by conducting raids and arrests on suspected members. And also, I just want to reiterate, it's not just the armed or militia wing that they have banned, it's the political wing as well. And I do remind listeners that Hezbollah is one of the proxies of Iran, which is the largest sponsor of state terror in the world.
Very, very interesting development that indeed. We did speak yesterday on the Overdrive about Bill de Blasio and his singling out the Haredi Jewish community in Brooklyn for special treatment because they attended a funeral. We had a bit of a debate about that. But what I'm really interested in is how this was received in Israel, this news.
Perceived very, very negatively. I mean, we understand. I mean, we've had over the last couple of months ourselves issues with sects within the Haredi community who have flouted social distancing laws. But this is the same for many communities around the world. It doesn't make it right, but it's no excuse for the mayor of New York City, where there has been an astronomical rise in anti-Semitic incidents, and including incidents that have been violent. We have seen ultra-Orthodox people attacked in the street, physically, including women and children in New York City. And for him to make a statement where he first singles out the Jewish community is offensive, it is discriminatory, and it's very, very dangerous and irresponsible. He has been lambasted from everybody, from government officials, from Israeli officials, from activists online, including, if not now, I mean, when the anti-Jewish establishment call you out for anti-Semitism, there must be some kind of solid argument behind that.
Yeah, I must say, we had the debate here, and I just cannot get my head around whether it was anti-Semitism, plain stupidity, just unconscious bias. I cannot work it out. Why would a man in one of the most heavily populated Jewish cities in the world outside of Israel do something so stupid? I mean, they showed us pictures of a flypast being attended by thousands of people along the banks of the Hudson River. But not a word was said about that. I mean, that's where he fell down. If he had, go on.
And not only that, is that, you know, he hasn't apologized. You know, he said, you know, it was irresponsible maybe, or, you know, he didn't think things through, or maybe it was unconscious bias, but he hasn't apologized. And this is, we're not being oversensitive here. We have seen the trajectory of anti-Semitism against Jews in the United States, and especially in New York City, where there has been incident after incident after incident. And also right now, when institutions are warning about the rise of anti-Semitism and the medieval blaming of Jews for COVID-19, for the supposed cause of the virus, this is really, really, really problematic wording.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, and I think that is, I don't know how he comes back from this. I think even an apology would be too little too late. Rolene Marks, we are going to leave it there.
Can I ask you a favor?
Of course you can.
I want to just take this last minute to say something, and I want to just give a shout out to all of you at High FM. Tabo, Zanati, you, Simon, Kathy, everybody behind the scenes and on Mark, for your incredible job in putting Chai FM together and keeping broadcasting during this extremely, extremely bizarre time. I cannot thank you enough and compliment you all on the outstanding job that you are doing.
Wow, Rolene.
And Senna, how can I forget Senna? Senna, a big squeeze for you.
Sure, Rolene, thank you. That's lovely to hear. That's really love to hear.
No, thank you guys for keeping it together so we can keep together.
No, that's the whole point of it, and that's what we aim to do. So thank you, Rolene. You've taken us absolutely exactly up to 5:30.